Diary of Doom.
Hey everybody, we're changing things up a little bit here and doing a solid for a friend of the diary. These guys, Buff Aqua, are not the normal wheelhouse of Doom music, but I interviewed them for a writing gig I'm no longer associated with and wanted to be able to use the recording it with them. So we're gonna feature it here as a chapter of the diary.
What are you doing?
Huh?
This is a holy text dedicated to Doom. You cannot invite anyone to be a part of it.
Oh, would you take the fucking bong out of your ass?
You dare speak like that to me? To me?
What are you gonna do? Make me work overtime? The healthcare around here already sucks, so I'd love to see you set the bar lower.
The diary demands respect and worthy entries to it. I have tasked you with this responsibility. I have provided you with all the tools necessary for it. Your camera, a seemingly endless amount of tickets, airfare to that wretched city of Vegas, most of which you spent on overpriced beer and an expensive dinner.
It was my girlfriend's birthday!
Oh, right. Did she receive my card?
Can I please just help out my friends?
You have to give up Columbus Day.
Fine, whatever. Columbus was a fucking dick anyway. Thank you, oh holy one. Anyway, now that the interruption from Emperor Palpatine is done...
You won't call me the Druid High Priest!
Oh, would you leave me alone before I report you to the Bureau for Better Business? Or at least give you a bad review on iTunes. Anyway, here's the band Buff Aqua.
First off, I guess I know that you've sort of talked about the origins of the band, although I kind of look at it a little bit more as like a bit of a project. I know you've talked about that before in interviews, but I figure sort of what was the origins of your band or interpretation of Buffalo Quo? That is the correct pronunciation, right?
The thing is, with the pronunciation, we say different all the time. So it's fine, whatever way you want to choose to say it. So
okay.
I say Buffalo, but the way you said it should be more phonetically right.
It's the more American interpretation.
Yeah, well, the name is actually taken from a real cannibal.
Oh, interesting.
It's from a documentary not too long ago, like 10 years ago. But when it comes to the origin of the band, you mean like where we come from or why we started the project? Or
yeah, it's like you said, it like started how like you a guys. Project. Yeah, how you guys came about starting the project. And, you know, the name is pretty... as you just stated, pretty important too for the purpose of the band. So yeah, if you could talk about that and just talk about how you guys got together and started the project off.
All right. Well, we know each other since before. We're three members and we're the same members since the start. And it's me and Kimo will come in as soon as he solves the technical stuff. And Jana, a girl from Norway, north of Norway. Me and Jana, we were roommates here in Amsterdam. I played in another band where she used to play, but she was often with us after she quit as well. So we met Kimo because his band was opening for ours. And then we spent maybe, I don't know, 3-4 years playing together with his band. And me and Kimo, we played in both bands after members left, because me and Kimo plays a lot of instruments. So for instance, I had to play the drums with his band one time, and he played bass with my band and guitar with my band. So, but then Kimo moved to Helsinki and Jana moved back to Norway. Around 2014, they both kind of, Jana was living here, but she was back and forth to Norway and he was already in Helsinki. And I went to see Bill Bailey, comedian.
Oh, I love Bill Bailey.
Yeah, yeah. And he does all these metal jokes and everything. And we used to play grunge and rock and punk. We still do in other bands. We grew up with metal, all three of us, since I'm from Sweden, Jani's from Norway, and Kimo from Finland. So we grew up with a bunch of metal, and we knew we know a lot of metal bands out there. So I just went home and wrote the first song of the first release. I sent it to Kimo. Normally when we write, it's like I take an acoustic guitar, I put on my phone, then I record me playing it and try to explain it at the same time, and then I upload it to YouTube so you can watch it. And then he programs pretty much everything and records everything. Besides the drums, he records all the other live instruments himself as well.
That's quite an undertaking. So I guess you all take on a lot of different responsibilities, because it's just kind of what you have to do in a project like this, where you don't necessarily have all the means of, you know, oh, we need a bass player, let's get a bass player in or something like that.
Musically, we would have wanted to let other people record our stuff anyways, but it's not just music. Yeah, it's production, engineering, everything. It's literally in the beginning, it was kind of like because of money.
Yeah. It's very much like a do-it-yourself mentality.
We have costumes, we have props, we have makeup. I mean, Jan has to work hours before we do a live show, for instance, to fix everything with the props and the makeup and everything. And Kimo is the sound engineer, and we did try to master it somewhere else, but we weren't happy, so he remastered it himself. We're about to play quite a lot of instruments. The main thing is after 4 years, because we were so busy with our other projects, we didn't really release this until 2017. So when we released it, we got a lot of strong feedback directly, and we got an offer for a record deal as well. Initially, we had been negotiating about a record deal, but we turned it down and we kept on going by ourselves. And 2018, it got super popular. We got so many interest. So we decided to start the second album. Like 2 weeks later, we signed with Slip Trick Records. We've been working since last year on that album. The project itself is also a bit to see how you do when the band is not based in one room. Like before we do a live show, we meet either here or where we're supposed to play. And we rehearse for 2-3 days in a row, and then we do the live. So it's a bit tricky since we don't live together and meet every day.
Right. I was going to ask, is it, you know, difficult to coordinate between the three of you? Because it sounds like you do a lot of communication online and, you know, sharing files and music and whatnot to get everything sort of grounded, you know, on the ground.
Main communication is just a Facebook group with us three, and you can talk about everything or share any links there. So sometimes it gets a bit confusing, but we also use email for, like, for instance, since I write all the lyrics and they're based on a book that I actually finished now. 2 weeks ago. Then I also write all the melodies. So Jana's voice, I sing in first, but then when I send her an email, I also explain which part of the words she's going to sing and stuff like that. So we do email and Facebook. Then she just records it at home, just like I do. And Kimo rents a studio for the other instruments. She's backing vocals. She does all the female vocals. And I'm the lead vocalist, but I write everything pretty much when it comes to melodies and vocals. So I have to explain to her the pieces and dots. And then she gets, like, she's very creative. So she, if I say laughs, I just say laughs. I don't put any emphasis in what she's supposed to do. But a lot of the things is like, it takes a little bit of explaining what she needs to do, because she's not a typical background singer either. She does a bit special voices and stuff like that. But it's worked really smooth since 2014, so we're not really worried about the process anymore. That's why we decided to do the second album exactly the same way. So we were almost done with the second album now, and we recorded everything on our own locations.
That's really cool. So you mentioned that, you know, that the origins of the band and the albums that you're going to put out is based on the book that you were writing. And how long have you been working on that narrative prior to when you decided that you wanted to turn it into a musical interpretation?
2014, in May, we formed a band. And 2 months earlier, I started working on the novel. Because the novel is inspired of that documentary, which is a BBC documentary of a guy who goes to Papua New Guinea and lives with the tribe of tree cannibals. So all the three names, Bufukwa, Wamufu, and Bumari, which is Wamufu is Kimo and Bumari is Jan. The cannibals live there, and they existed like 10 years ago when the documentary was real. So they were real life cannibals, but the story itself has nothing to do with the life they live, because Bufukwai, so they kill everyone after the first four songs on Earth and go to space. So it's a bit different.
Yeah.
But it's based on real life cannibal names from the island.
That's kind of where the similarities end.
Yeah, and I saw that documentary at a friend's house. He had downloaded from an obscure site. And when I saw the documentary, I was like, okay, that was interesting, but I want to write something else. But I want to use that because of, like, the cannibalism and everything. And, well, Kimo read the novel, and I said we should base all the metal music on the chapters. And there was a period after we recorded the first EP while we were like kind of, we almost had decided to sign with a label, but we waited for them to set everything up to record the second album in Sweden. And nothing happened for 2 years. So at that point, when we restarted in 2017, it was like, should we keep on going with the theme? But then I had already 8 new chapters, so we just kept going. It turned out really great with the theme of the story as well. Yeah, we kind of decided that we will have the novel as an audiobook on the CD version as well. So,
it's a nice little addition.
Yeah, so we're going to try to make a special edition of the CD because we want to release the main on vinyl, so there will be just music because there's not that much time. And then we'll do a special edition CD where you can hear the book being read as well. For the vinyl, you get it printed instead. The booklet.
Now, do you guys also have, given the basis of what the book and now the albums are about, like, do you have an other outside interest in sort of like horror and the macabre kind of stuff?
My main interest is just a mix up of everything, like comedy and aliens. And my main interest in space and stuff, it's not so much like Star Wars or Star Trek or something like that, but more like in more real life conspiracies. NASA conspiracies and alien and reptilians and stuff like that, and even science-based, like, so I don't just study like fringe science, but even mainstream. And I'm not a big comic book guy or serial or reader, so it's a mix. That's why maybe the novel is, I don't know, I think you wrote in your reviews a little bit cheesy, which is the side of me who is not like a nerd but still like, I don't know how to put it, but it's more like pop culture.
Yeah, it's like a little the tongue-in-cheek. It's
because we're super into comics, like Trailer Park Boys and stuff like that. I play in another band who does a rockumentary on the side. So
okay,
I also get like, I don't know, guar feeling. Like, you don't have to take your metal too serious. Like, we are serious musicians, of course, but we don't want to be taken too serious. It's not that kind of band. It's not the band that has like that kind of cult following. It's like we're more an accessible kind of band.
I definitely feel that way.
We like to take have fun with it, but we're also serious with the music because we work really hard on it. But in the end, like, people can will have an opinion. People will like your music. People will hate your music. People will hate your personalities. All we can do is have fun with it, kind of. I think a lot of people, they take themselves way too serious, and they also lose a lot of opportunities because they come off as arrogant douchebags in public. I think that's a problem with a lot of bands today, that they're taking them so serious that they don't understand the value in just being accessible for your fans.
You know, kind of going back in time, what was the first record that made you say, I want to be in a band, I want to be in a musician? Because obviously you were a fan before you, you know, decided to do this, to take on this endeavor.
It was not a record. It was a concert.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, when I was young, my mom and dad are super into concerts. They used to drag me from live concerts since I was like a little kid. And the one where I said, no, I want to do that, was actually Guns N' Roses. But the album Attitude for Destruction is one of my all-time favorites. That was very much inspired in my early bands too. But 1994, in when I saw Guns N' Roses, then I became a big Nirvana fan, and I realized everyone can do it. So I tried, at least, and we'll see how far it's still. I was 12 years old, so it's literally 20 years No, it's more 25 years ago.
Right, so. But that's kind of what you have to carry on from that age. You know, something I always see musicians talk about is that they say it hits them at a younger age, and you know, you can't really turn your back on it. You have to put like 100% of yourself into it. Otherwise, there's really like no purpose. And you know, I know it's not like the easiest career path for everybody. So, but that's, you know, it's dedication at the end of the day.
I don't think it's for anyone, even the big guys. I mean, I know a lot of people who made it huge. So I talk a lot to them and get advice. And I think they experience the exact same up and lows that we do, who doesn't make the same kind of living out of it. I think it's a very bold choice. And I think I tried to quit music several times myself.
So now we are joined by your handle here. Well, I'm probably not going to say it correctly, but Walmufu, Walmofo?
You decide. I don't know.
It's just it's a rolling thing. But Kimmo from the band is now with us. Hi. And welcome.
I think we were somewhere on the novel, or
you're talking about like your musical influences, saying how like Nirvana was.
You asked me about my first concert or what got me into music.
Yeah,
then I guess Nirvana was making it more accessible. And then, no, I don't know. Then I tried myself. And from that, I have never stopped. I had like a 3-year break before I moved to Holland. But then 10 years later, I'm still at it. So we'll see what's going to happen.
You're still on a break?
I'm on a break now because I refuse to re-sing more for this album. So you're just going to have to deal with it.
I'm going to use the Google text-to-speech thingy then.
Use the Swedish one. That might be me, you know.
Yeah. But there's one called Ted.
So, you know, Kimmo, now that you're with us, Ted's talked about the origins of the band and coordinating between the three of you and how long it's been just in production, the whole project and everything. And he's saying how he brought you in, you've played in bands together. And you do a lot of the production and the recording and the instrumental aspects of it. So do you want to talk about a little bit how you got roped into it?
Roped into this? Well, Ted asked me and I said, okay.
And that's it.
Started. Yeah, that's it.
That's how you get a finished person to play.
For Quar into producing and that kind of stuff. So got into which one. But yeah, Ted asked me here and I said yes, and that's it. The rest is history.
Gotcha. And he said that like a pivotal moment for him was going to see Guns N' Roses live, and then after that was Appetite for Destruction. The album was a big one for him. You know what? So I guess my same question to you would be: what was like the first record or band or concert or whatever musical experience made you say I want to get into music?
I don't know. I remember when I was like 12 or something, and a friend of mine was able to play the Guns N' Roses, what's the song? Sweet Child of Mine. I thought it looked easy and I could do it, but it took me a few years to get a guitar and notice that it isn't that easy. Yeah, I guess that.
Can you do it still?
No, I haven't tried. I've tried it a few times, but it's a really annoying riff where that's really easy to make a few dumb mistakes. So, yeah, probably that made me decide to want to play too.
That's weird. Now you're just making up shit, aren't you? You of know, course. It was one of my old records that wanted you to pick up the instruments.
I got into music more full-time when I heard probably Alice Cooper's Hey Stupid or something like that. The Iron Maiden's Fear of the Dark.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Like love that.
That was a big one for me too. Yeah, Iron Maiden's Fear of the Dark. When I saw them live, I was amazed about him climbing the fucking lights and everything. And the sound was just outstanding. They just released, because it was really late, I saw them when they released Brave New World.
Okay.
And I always loved the Fear of the Dark. So when they played it very last too, as the very last encore. And it was just out of this world.
Because I saw them first time in 1995, I think.
Oh, shit.
They were still going with Blaze Bayley.
Wow.
So I was 15 and a huge Iron Maiden fan. It didn't matter. It was a really great gig.
Yeah, they're probably the one of the best metal bands in history, I would say. Like, they're so good.
Now, I'm a bit younger than you guys, but I've seen Maiden 4 times. I just saw them.
Oh yeah.
When did you see Maiden?
I saw them in 95, 2010, and 12, I think. Yeah.
And I saw them 2000, and I want to see them again. My stepdad went this year, too. He said he went to Guns N' Roses last year, and Kiss usually just says okay, but he said Maiden was outstanding.
Oh, yeah, they're still great. Kind of getting back to it, it's interesting that you guys, your early concert or your early musical influences are, not kind of the atypical stuff that you hear from a lot of other, black metal musicians. And you did say that you guys have played in other like punk rock bands and grunge style bands. So with this project, it seems to me like you're kind of intentionally trying to emulate a more of a classic black metal sound as opposed to some of the newer black metal bands that are out there with what they're doing. Is that intentional, or are you just doing what you feel is just correct and it's what you're producing organically?
Well, first of all, I did not notice that we have such similar backgrounds when it comes to these bands. I don't think we ever had this discussion together, me and Kimo, which influences we have. So that was kind of interesting, actually.
Yeah, we're too old to have that kind of conversation.
Yeah, so
we're both like 30
really
when
cool.
we met. So.
I think there's two ways to look at it. It's not that we don't listen to black metal. This was early. I think for me, I got into this extreme metal and black metal much later than my early years. When I was young, it was Guns N' Roses, it was grunge, it was Smashing Pumpkins. A little bit on the harder side with Alice Cooper and then Marilyn Manson, of course. For me, the reason I went to see a bunch of the older black metal bands in concerts because there was a lot of concerts here and I have some friends who played in some bands. So it's something that came when I was like, I don't know, around the time when I started Bufuqua with Kimo. So it was the black metal influence come much later. I think it also has a bit to do with my voice, that my singing voice is not the best, but I could emulate the more black metal, get away with it, I guess. I don't know. How was it for you, Kimo?
Are you saying you're faking it?
You fake it till you make it.
Like, okay, if you can't sing Britney, you don't sing Britney. Isn't that the rule?
Yeah.
Like, even Freddie Mercury knew that, even though.
I wonder who he was emulating.
Yeah.
Wonder, I can't sing like that. I'll just wing it.
He was pretty emulated me, and I emulate Sartre in Satyricon.
He was emulating you. Yeah. I'll just wing it, Ted style.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't too much into black metal. I still remember when I got my first Emperor CD. Mm-hmm. I was actually, we had a gig at Tampere with my old band. The next morning, I was super hangover and taking a huge dump in the toilet and reading a music magazine. And they had you could order the CD with your phone. It's like send a code and they'll charge it on your phone bill. So I ordered like some kind of a compilation of Emperor's greatest hits, double CD with old demos and that kind of stuff. And that was the first black metal album I had. Even though, yeah, back when I was like 13 or something, it used to be huge. I never really, really got into it.
But the sound is very, it's a perfect fit for what you're writing about.
Yeah, I think, I was surprised how well it fits the novel. And the fact that we flirt with rock and roll and grunge still makes it a bit more like a storytelling music. Black metal can be very static.
Yes.
We are not very static when it comes. We always, the whole story is a progression. And our songs is also some kind of progression. So we had a bunch of discussions about sound, about slowness of songs. I think we re-recorded a few of the songs because of the tempos and stuff like that. And I think we don't really want to be in the black metal genre, but we don't want to be in the harder rock more. We can perform on most hard rock, heavy festivals and extreme metal festivals.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You can say we could be booked to a punk festival.
Yeah, even. though. But yeah, the theatrical side, it's flirting a bit with the black metal, but not fully. It's also with, like I mentioned, Guar before, for instance. I don't know. But then in the end, it's quite genuine, because I can't just write a song and think about all these things. It's like, well, Kimo calls it noodling, but I pick up the guitar and then I do my stuff. Sometimes it's not really meant to be black metal or punk or evil. It's just what comes out.
Yeah, and then it's my job to make it sound a bit more evil.
Yeah, I'm used to writing way more melodic music. So sometimes it can sound a bit poppy or a bit too in the mainstream. Then it's up to Kimo to make it more black.
Right. It's worked out really good this far.
I'd say so. I mean, to me, it's like those early King Diamond albums that had a little bit more of the, your more atypical song structure. They were more influenced by, I want to say mainstream metal, but like the more recognizable metal bands at the time. And before black metal really transitioned into like the really, you know, the fast, aggressive, atmospheric guitar and the blast beats and all that it's kind of really well known for. I don't hear that as much in your music. That's why I gave the comparisons to like Abigail and them. That's what it definitely reminded me of. But like you've mentioned before, you do keep an open mind when you're producing your music so that you don't get kind of trapped in a certain genre. It's funny. I find a lot of metal bands really don't like being lumped into genres. It's like the whole concept of genre is almost like a hindrance to metal bands sometimes, because even though they might be like, oh, well, we don't consider ourselves, you know, this, it's almost like they let fans have kind of taken it upon themselves to be like, we have to identify them as a certain kind of band, you know, just for our own understanding.
Yeah,
I totally agree. I mean, me and Kimo grew up in the 80s and 90s, where heavy metal, the first like subgenre, was thrash when Metallica and Slayer and them came through. The black metal was there, but it came later in the 90s, like outside of Norway. And like at that time, you had three, like maybe four genres of metal. And today there's like so much, I get confused. So that's also a problem, because when you send,
and there's still like four genres, but there's like six zeros behind
yeah.
4 million
yeah.
different jobs. Funny you mention Abigail, because when I was a kid, a friend of mine used to listen to that, and I remember I was like probably around the 10 or 12 too. And yeah, he had the, I think it was CD or something, he was playing to it. It to me, hey, listen to this. This is scary. Like, whoa, the fuck is this? Great album.
And then, of course, I've heard Mayhem before. I heard all the old black metal before. But of course, now when we play in a band that kind of flirts with the genre, it becomes more natural. You listen to them. And I think it's quite fun to discover a new genre when you're like older. I don't know. Yeah. It's like when you were 16, 17, like I played in a rock band, and I would never dream of playing in a dark metal band or anything like that. It was like, rock and roll, and that's it. And then when you get older, you realize that a lot of these genres, they just fuse together. So for me, it's like I write music I really want to listen to anyway. So for this project, for Bufuqua, I really think with the first release, we achieved that. I hope we will achieve it with the second one too.
I think it's coming on really, really well. I'd listen to it.
Yeah,
but matters.
I haven't got tired of any of the songs yet, but it's hard for us in a certain sense, because some festivals don't really want to take you unless you're like spot on classic black metal sound and stuff like that. So since I'm thinking out of the booking perspective, since I book us, sometimes I feel it would have been nice just to release a black metal album, but fuck it, we're gonna do what we're gonna do, and then people can like it or they hate it, as long as we get some attention.
Good.
I mean, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So what are kind of your future plans for taking this on the road?
Well, we are going to do it.
Kimo made a really good set for the first album, which we performed once this year. but we just
signed... very selected audience.
Yeah, we just signed with the new booking company. And yeah, we started looking at festivals in Europe next year. When it comes to tours, me and Kimo, we want to be able to do another live production set. I'm hoping he wants to play some of the new songs as well. But only the first set. How long is that, Kimo? The one we have?
Was it like 35 minutes?
Yeah, and a lot of festivals don't have much more time in Europe. So that's pretty much what we're going to live on next summer. But when we start doing our own shows, club shows and stuff, we'll probably add some of the new songs. Well, at one point we want to tour the world, but we'll see. This booking company seems good. We've been with them for a few months now, and I have a very positive feeling that we will do some really cool tours. And we seem to be quite popular, you know, American media, at least in indie media. So because I've done a lot of late night interviews, so we might come to the US at some point as well.
Yeah, well, the point is to tour the world. I don't really care about anything else, but if I see new places, then I'll be happy and get to play music.
For me and Kimo, it's kind of like this. We're old enough to not want to like do the rock and roll tour. We want to see the world and play in front of as many people as possible, because like this is what we wanted when we were kids, but now we have to do it in another way. It's not just like you get famous on overnight. Yeah, you might have to play in front of two people, but we're hoping to, I don't know, the next 5 years are going to be crucial for Bufoqua, because me and Kim are not getting any younger, and next year is the most important year, I think.
After that, we're going to have to start the Black and the Blues band.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll take the indie scene by storm.
Well, I thought we'd go to Vegas and do our show there instead. It would be easier.
Cool, we could open up for a chair for like 6 years. Yeah.
They do have a big festival out there that has definitely made some names for bands. So,
oh, cool.
In Vegas?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm going to look it up. They have an artist visa for US on this agency, so we're going to be able to find it. The goal is to really get out live now, because now we have two albums in the back as of next year, and we just want to evolve the live, because the live is a bit complex since we're three people, so and two of us don't play instruments live.
We're basically like infected mushrooms.
Yeah, but I'm I want to play some guitar on the new songs if I can, but we'll see. The most important thing is that we get it out and try stuff.
Cool.
Fun doing it.
Of course, that's the most important part. What I didn't realize, and Ted pointed out, was how did the idea come around to use the cat on the album cover? Because I actually thought that was a person's face that you had kind of manipulated editing wise.
It's not going to be on the cover. It's going to actually be on the album, I think.
Just be recording his cats, the meows and that kind of stuff, when we are using them for weird sounds like meow, or all kind of screams.
It's actually part of the musicians on the album. His name is Elmo, and he has a lot of demands when it comes to kitty snacks and stuff to sing on the album, but
I think we can meet those stands.
Yeah, we have pleased the fat bastard till now, at least. But yeah, he's been bragging about this to his kitty friends, so he's ready for the release now. Right now he's napping next to me. But yeah, no, he's going to... And the other cat, Gizmo, my other cat, she's also going to be on the album.
I like that. I think that's a neat take.
They have their own page, so we'll see if their fame becomes... They might be more famous than not. We have some really weird stuff for the album, so it's not a very conventional way of releasing it either. Do you have any details about the album, Kimo?
Me? No, not much.
But yeah, the cover is actually a painting by Kimo.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Yeah. I don't know when we...
The new one.
Reveal it. Yeah, first, the album is called Space Time Carnivorium.
Oh. That's a great title. I love it.
Thanks. It's also chapter 7 to 11 of the novel. It continues on with Fufuqua novel. But yeah, so when it comes to artwork, we always have, no, we don't always anymore. We used to have like arguments about artwork in general. I wouldn't call it arguments. I'm not really into the artwork, so I don't really care if we put an owl on the cover or my cat. Kimo and Yana are very more sensitive with it, but well, they're more creative in that way. So Kimo and Yana are always in charge of the artwork since 2-3 years back. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Yana's been really helpful there. She has a good judgment too.
But then I really like the new cover. We decided to put that painting on the cover, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It's official now, so he can't back out and burn the painting.
It's recorded, so yeah. there's proof.
Yeah. Oh, well, I better not fuck the painting up.
No, we'll notice, like, Yellow say, yeah, great, Kimo. And it's like, but don't you see the penis in the corner? And it's like,
whoops.
No, we can't. Not again, sell it at Walmart.
It's not a penis, it's a flower.
Yeah,
not a vagina. It's also a flower. Everything's flowers, and my troubles are the clouds here.
Maybe we should rename it to Flower Power, Kufuqua. But yeah, no. So that's all I know about the album at this point.
Well, it sounds exciting, and I guess this would just be my last question because I think you guys have something going on from 11 to 12 or something. You know, where in the story does this find our cannibal crew?
So the last song, which is Taste the Violence. Thank you for the compliments in the review, by the way.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're thanking for my vocals, Kimo. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you very much.
If anyone says it's good, then yeah, great. Because I know I had to fix them in the mix.
Yeah. Which you always say it's impossible. Then we kill everyone on the island and we take a space portal away to another planet. On the first song, we find us on that planet and we have brought a human and we chop him up and we make a meal out of him. So it's called Plate of Hate. And then we go from there to a few other planets. Like we kill a bunch of people. We run into it's almost like a video game. So we run into bigger bosses and stuff.
We're going to run into the Rat King, right?
Yeah, the Rodent King.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Rex Talpas, the Rodent King. And that's actually a singer from another band whose guest vocals will be on that song. I have to rewrite the vocals because Kimo changed the whole song last week, but it's the singer of Dirty Rats from Australia. I don't know if you heard of them or if they
I'm not familiar with them.
Okay. Well, they're also on Metal Coffee PR as we are. They'll probably be in touch with you for an interview or something. Yeah, he's going to sing on that song, and he's like a big boss. But I'll send you a copy of all 11 chapters when they're done as well.
Great. Thanks. I would appreciate that. So that just about wraps it up here on time for you guys. Thanks for taking the time out of your day, and sorry about the technical difficulties, but we'll...
No problem.
We'll be able half to an hour power late. Through them.
we just think it's fun to do this shit. It's not like yeah, exactly. We have nothing else to do. Listen to Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, mostly.
on a quiet Sunday. You have nothing, you don't have anything better to do except talk to some dude who lives in an apartment above a weird woodcrafting studio in New Jersey.
Oh, that's
cool. That sounds cool.
No, it sucks. It's loud. They bang hammers. It annoys my girlfriend.
Well, you could start playing drums.
I should. Whenever they start doing it, I should just start playing drums, and then they can come up and complain, and then I'll tell them to go fuck off.
That sounds like a crazy neighbor. I'm lucky. Mine is just a nosy old lady. All right. Thanks a lot, Dylan. It was really cool to have us.
No problem, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Cool. Take care. I'm going to turn on November Rain and cry a little and... Yeah. Then start making food for the little devils.
Okay, have fun.
Enjoy.
That's my favorite pastime, hopefully.